Well, there's no end in sight to the impasse over the government's $158 billion plan to cut income taxes. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, has rebuffed Labor's request for more information about the total cost of the budget over the next decade. And crossbench power brokers, Centre Alliance, have declared there's no urgency to pass this legislation when Parliament returns next month, which means tax refunds, that's the money you get in your pocket, could be delayed even if the government eventually rounds up the numbers to push the cuts through the Senate. Josh Frydenberg joins us from Washington, where he's been holding talks with the US officials about the global outlook, including speaking with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Treasurer, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Nice to be with you, Fran. And just one correction. You said we're ignoring Labor's requests around the cost to the budget of their tax. Of our tax cuts. That is not true. It's clearly stated in Statement 3 of the budget papers that our tax cuts will cost $158 billion over the decade, and it's very clear.
That's total, and it's very clear in that, and it's very clear in the letter that you got from Shadow Treasurer Jim Chalmers and from everything else that Anthony Albanese has said since then, that what Labor wants you to provide is how much of that global figure of $158 billion will be going in the third round of those tax cuts to people earning over $180,000 or $200,000 a year. You haven't given that number yet. I've asked you a number of times for it.
We have, and to be very clear for your listeners, what we are doing is not changing the top rate of tax. What we're doing is reducing the rate of tax from 32.5 cents to 30 cents in the dollar for Australians who earn between $45,000 and $200,000. That's 70% of taxpayers, more than 9 million taxpayers, and this is focused on low and middle income earners, and the progressive nature of our tax system, which we're all committed to, is being maintained with the top taxpayers remaining to be those who are the highest income.
It might be progressive, Treasurer, but that doesn't really answer the question. I mean, your message back to Labor was read the budget, but the budget papers don't tell us what stage three, how much of that stage three spend of $95 billion over 5 years will go to the highest income earners. We've relied on third parties like the Australia Institute and the Grattan Institute to give us that, and the latest estimate is $33 billion will go to people earning more than $180,000 a year. It's not a hard question. I'm sure as Treasurer you know this. Is that correct?
Well, what we've done is entirely consistent with the Labor Party's approach when they were in government and made some tax changes. They also provided the cost to the budget, and they also provided the details as to who would be affected.
Sorry to interrupt, but I don't know why it's a secret. I mean, we're on an election campaign now. Why is it a secret to know how much of this tax cut, even if it's progressive, as you say, and it just makes up for bracket creep, how much of it is going to the highest income earners?
Well, because its overwhelming focus is on those who are earning between $45,000 and $200,000.
I understand, now, but not in the third tranche.
Well, that is actually what it is. It's actually reducing the rate of tax for those people in that tax bracket, Fran. And it's clear that Labor doesn't want Australians to have the tax cuts that they voted for. Before the election, Jim Chalmers, Chris Bowen and Bill Shorten were talking enthusiastically about the mandate and the moral authority that they would get from an election win for their tax package. Now, right now, on the other side of the election, an election that we won, where Australians voted for tax cuts as opposed to tax increases, they're seeking to deny the will of the Australian people and to block what was a key election policy for us.
But Anthony Albanese says he'll pass the first tranche and possibly the second one. He'll pass the first one in an hour.
Well,
Why not just give them that so people can get that check?
Because it was always designed, Fran, to be a tax package with tax relief in the short term and tax reform in the long term.
Okay.
That's what it was all about.
Can I just talk to you?
Can I also say to you, here in the United States, where the economy is growing strongly and wages are increasing, they have just seen, well, back now just over around 2 years ago, a major $1.5 trillion tax cut package. And obviously that is now playing through with a stronger economy.
Okay, and I'll come to your talks with the United States decision makers in a moment, but just before we leave, this centre alliance is obviously critical to the federal government if Labor won't come on board, getting its tax package through the Senate. Centre alliance appears to be firming in opposition to the full package, or certainly one of its senators says there's no rush for this, but another, Rebecca Sharkey, who's in the lower house for centre alliance, says, asks, how will we continue to fund the pension and aged care? The most responsible thing the government could do is break up the three stages.
Well, that's maybe what Rebecca Sharkey is asking for.
And Labor.
But again, they didn't win the election. We did, and we put to the Australian people a comprehensive tax package with both short-term relief and long-term structural reform. And it's very clear that what our policy focuses on is low and middle income earners, rewarding aspiration, people who've worked hard, being able to keep more of what they earn. And the Labor Party seems to have in their DNA a belief in higher taxes and obstructing this important tax relief.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 26 past eight. Our guest is the Federal Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. You're in Washington, Treasurer. You've had meetings with a number of top officials, including the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, and also David Malpass, the President of the World Bank. Obviously, global headwinds or what's happening overseas affects us here at home and could endanger the predicted surplus. What's the message you've got about the global outlook?
Well, and we also recently attended a G20 finance ministers meeting and central bankers in Japan. And the key message from my counterparts there was the number one threat to the global outlook is the trade tensions between the US and China. And we've also heard from Reserve Bank Governor Phil Lowe, similar sentiment.
Sure.
What it's doing is we're seeing a decline in trade volumes and also a deferral in investment decisions, and this is causing real concern about global economies. So among the global economy, and so what we're doing is promoting not only free trade but also a rules-based trading system. Prime Minister Scott Morrison made a speech in London recently about strengthening the WTO, and our message is all about ameliorating these trade tensions and supporting free trade.
Okay, so you mentioned Philip Lowe there, his warning too about the downside risks from the US-China trade war, and I'm sure there was a lot of talk around that, about that around the G20 meeting. This could come to a head when Donald Trump and Xi Jinping meet at the G20 later this month. Have you got any sense from the Americans of a back down by Donald Trump, or is he determined to go ahead with that $300 billion worth of trade tariffs?
Well, as you know, the tariffs that both the US and China have applied cover about 2% of world trade, and the public talk has been around increasing those tariffs if there is not a deal to be struck. So all eyes will turn to Osaka and and obviously the discussions there between the Chinese and Americans. But I am just hopeful that all parties will in the end support free trade, that these tensions will reduce, and that Australia will go on creating jobs and opening new markets.
And what about Australia in all of this? I mean, there's plenty of backdraft for Australia from China and America, but Australia, for instance, received an exemption from US tariffs on steel and aluminium when Malcolm Turnbull was still Prime Minister. This is when Donald Trump first started throwing around trade tariffs. Since then, Australia's aluminium exports to the US have soared. That's troubled some in the Trump administration, we've heard. Did you get an assurance from Steve Mnuchin, for instance, the Treasury Secretary, that Australia's exemption to the 10% aluminium tariff is not going to be dumped?
Well, look, I'm not going to go into private discussions for obvious reasons, but the Americans know what our position is about free trade. They also know the strength of our bilateral relationship and the historic nature of that relationship. So our position is well known. And at the same time, where Americans have raised legitimate issues, for example, in the China-US context, then, you know, we've called that out as well. But all I can say to you is that we continue to push the case for free trade, acknowledging that one in five Australian jobs are connected to trade, okay, and we as a coalition continue to look for new agreements like we have already done with the Trans-Pacific Partnership with Indonesia and others.
But just briefly, I'm not asking you to give away secret talks, but are you confident that Australia will maintain that exemption? I'm sure our steel and aluminium producers would like to know this.
I think I don't want to talk about the detail of that other than to say, Fran, that we continue to put our case for why we're an important trading partner and why our exports are good not only for the markets in which we sell to, but also for our own domestic economy.
Treasurer, thank you very much for joining us.
Always good to be with you.
Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg joining us from Washington.